on Saturday, March 16th, I had an amazing conversation with a really good friend of mine by the name of Cherry Reynolds. She came down and we discussed the ins and outs of postpartum. She has two children under the age of 10, and both of her postpartum experiences were very different. And I'm glad we got to have this conversation. I hope you guys enjoy.
All right, so welcome, Cherry. Thank you so much for coming this evening. I appreciate you for coming down.
Cherry came from Texas, y'all. Cherry came from Texas this evening to do tonight's episode. And so let me go ahead and start by asking, because this is the postpartum episode, but the beauty in that is we have beautiful children.
Yes.
Beautiful children that have been birthed, literally, from the situations that women have to endure to bring beautiful children into the world. So let the Coochie Gang know, how many children do you have and what is the age difference between them?
So I have two children. They, one is eight, about to be eight, and one is five. I have a boy and a girl, and about 2.5 years apart.
Okay, 2.5 years. That's good. That's a real good range. That's, you know, gave yourself time to heal, rest, regenerate. That's very important. Yes. So the icebreaker is, do you feel, even just in minuscule moments, that you're still in postpartum?
Oh, most definitely. I do. Sometimes when I'm dealing with my children and they are not listening, or, you know, just having a mommy moment, you can always feel the postpartum. You get depressed and you feel like you're not doing what you're supposed to do as a mother. And they feel like you are. But when you can't keep control of your kids, and you know, all kids, I mean, tell me a child that's not bad.
Right.
You feel like you're not doing enough. Like, oh, they're not listening. They're not this, they're not that. But they're just trying to have fun. They're just being kids.
Right.
And, you know, you try to keep structure because you got to get dinner done, clean the house, and all that other stuff. So I do feel like I still have postpartum in some type of shape, form, or fashion.
Indeed. So just in dealing with your pregnancies, because you had two pregnancies. And they were successful, but who was immediately around you in labor?
Okay.
Because that is the hiding part of the pregnancy. You're in labor, the baby is about to come earthside. Who was immediately around you with your births?
The first pregnancy was my mom and the father of my son and my niece. And then the second pregnancy, I had my mom on FaceTime because it was an emergency. So we did not know that I was in labor.
Okay.
We thought I was having Braxton Hicks.
Okay.
So after that, it was my sister. She showed up and she was the one that was present, stuck it out through the end of it.
That's amazing. That's good. And this was both pregnancies, and you were able to feel a sense of calm because you had people around you that weren't making you stress or causing any type of stress for you. Right. Good support system. And that needs to be highlighted because everybody's situation is not like that. Everybody's situation, they don't have that support system. And so that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing to know that you had a solid support system around you. So you can choose any pregnancy that you want to choose, whichever one you want to, you know, choose from. In that pregnancy, how are you treated by the healthcare staff, the doctors, the nurses? How did that go?
Okay, so I would use my daughter because it was a very, very like chaotic scene. So during the birth of my daughter, my ovaries had ruptured and I was put to sleep immediately. So it was either have a hysterectomy and stop the bleeding, or you could possibly die. So to be able to wake up and still be able to be in the presence of my daughter was, it was very heartfelt. And they were very sensitive to my needs when it came down to things. They told me, you need to get up and you need to walk. Not rudely, not just, hey, you need to get up and it's time to get out of here. It's like, no, we need you to move around so we can see what else we need to do for you. How's your pain management? You know, make sure that I was okay when it came down to walking again, being able to use the restroom again,
right?
All the proper steps before you leave the hospital. So I feel like my daughter's, when I was pregnant with my daughter, I got the utmost like quality treatment, more than I think for my son.
Indeed. Okay. So let's expound a little bit more, on the fact that your ovaries ruptured. Your ovaries.
Yes. So having my son in Texas and having my daughter in Oklahoma, there was not shared information that would need to be passed through whenever it was time for me to have the birth of my daughter. That means they didn't read my birth plan correctly.
Okay.
So whenever I went in, my uterus sits at a slant. So okay. my I don't open up pretty okay. much. My kids get stuck.
Okay.
So for them.
So basically you couldn't dilate basically. On your own.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, ma'am. So whenever it was time for my daughter to dilate, she just did not. So mm-hmm. that's why I was thinking I was having Braxton Hicks because I'm still at a one.
Right.
So when the contractions intense, it was like, okay, something's not right. Mm-hmm. I'm in a whole lot of pain. And I'm like, I need help. So mm-hmm. my mom calls my sister. My sister calls the hospital. Gives them the complete breakdown. They didn't know anything. They didn't know anything. So when it was time for me to go in labor, it's time for me to go.
Right.
So she's already pressing down to a point where all the pressure is sitting in my ovaries. Mm. So whenever they got ready to pull her out, whatever was already punctured, it could have been a pelvic bone, it could mm-hmm. be anything. Whenever that pressure released, it automatically ruptured.
Wow.
And I remember blood sliding on my face and everything. And it was like, she's here. And I hear the doctor say, hey, we need to get a stool. Grab me a stool. She said, Cherry, we're going to have to stop the bleeding. If we can't stop the bleeding, we're going to have to give you a hysterectomy to save your life. And after that, it was sleep.
Wow. So when you came to,
mm-hmm.
after they had to do whatever repairs and stuff that had to happen, what was your mindset? Where were you? Do you remember?
Did I get a hysterectomy? Do I still have my ovaries? Mm-hmm. Did they tie my tubes like they said that they were? Because mm-hmm. obviously I have unsafe births. Is my daughter okay? Mm-hmm. Like, am I still able to use the restroom? Am I able to even have periods? Like, it was just a lot of things that came down to my whole reproductive system because I didn't know what I was left with because I was put to sleep.
Right.
So finally when the doctor came in and it was like, well, for us to, we couldn't tie your tubes. They didn't have the time to do that. It was save your life or, you know, other alternatives. Right. So to know that my tubes weren't tied, I was very upset. I was very upset. And I'm just like, well, I should have just got the hysterectomy. But they made the choice for me because of my age that they didn't feel I should get a hysterectomy.
That is crazy because the fact that it seemed like almost that they used mm-hmm. the fact that you were at the time in peril, you know, and mm-hmm. they tried to take, you know, your thought process mm-hmm. for granted. Oh, because she's so hyped up. No, that I don't feel like they should have robbed you of your choice.
So now if I was to get pregnant, it would be a scary moment because it's just like she barely made it.
Right.
So what if I decide to have another kid? Yeah, granted, you know what to do and things like that. But they told me you're not allowed to have a natural birth. Your body's not going to allow you to have a natural birth.
Mm-hmm.
So am I going to be in another restricted area of, well, something can rupture again?
Right.
Or can it be 10 times worse where she's not able to come out, period? Like, right. what are the alternatives? Y'all never gave me y'all never gave me a decision on what I wanted to do. I gave you the decision that I wanted to get my tubes tied and you waved it off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, then like, what now when I get pregnant? So what do I do? Do I go ahead and have this baby and risk my life and the baby's life too? Or do get an abortion?
Right. And it's even crazier now because Texas is one of the harshest states when it comes to even miscarriages,
mm-hmm.
not just even just the abortion part. We all know about how that works.
Oh, yes.
But
most definitely.
If, you know, it's something beyond your control,
mm-hmm.
the baby goes breech, if, you know, like, you know, how are you going to reprimand or mm-hmm. penalize me, the carrier of the life?
An abortion is not even in my character.
Right.
But it's like, it's either life or death between you or this baby.
Right.
By the grace of God, we all got faith. So it's like, what happens next when you do end up pregnant because the doctor decided to make your choices for you?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's that. Whew, y'all know that's another story for another day. So as far as postpartum with both births,
mm-hmm.
was it a continuation of the postpartum you had with your first birth? Was postpartum different for both pregnancies? How did that play out for you?
It was very different between both pregnancies. Mm-hmm. In the first pregnancy, I actually had a significant other that was able to take up the parts that I couldn't take if I was going through the depression, the crying, the anxiety, and everything else. This one was a little bit different. I mean, I didn't have that significant other there. So I was by myself when it came down to a lot of things. Plus, I was going through my own personal things as well. So right. It's like being a new mother, trying to keep your head high and everything else. So it was completely different. I think the second one was more of a struggle than the first, most definitely.
Yeah, for sure. I can only imagine. And so in those different experiences with your postpartum, as your children grew, how did the postpartum play out for you?
Oh, it eased up a lot because, you know, you're starting to learn your kid and, you know, you're spending that time with your child. So you get to learn their personalities and what you created. So it gives you a bit of light, you know, like, oh, I did this, you know, and they do the smallest little things that could just brighten up your day. So when you have that kid and you know that you have fallen in love with that, because, you know, most women who fall into postpartum, they don't like their child.
Right.
Their child is their enemy. So for me to be able to still embrace it and fall into the place of motherhood, it was 100% grateful because I felt like I just couldn't do it at one point. I felt like I'm just not built for this. Right. But then when I started, you know, just taking my time and just doing a little bit of self-care, taking a breath, even going to like, put your kids to sleep. You know, they say sleep when your kid is sleeping. Mm-hmm. I took that time to like really meditate and get to know myself still and put myself into my child and put it all as one so I can move accordingly when it comes to my child. So just in case I feel that slight depression, you know what? You can shake it off. You've been doing it. You got it.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. That's beautiful here. I always think about, I think it's a Huggies commercial where it's like first kid and everything is like chaotic. Yes. And then the second kid, okay, I got my groove. I already know what to do. I have a plan. You know, I love that commercial. And so you hearing you say that, that's what that reminded me of. So to pull out of what you were talking about as far as self-care, that kind of segues into my next question for you. What is your interpretation with your postpartum of self-care? Just expand. I know you spent a little bit on it, but yeah. Just
doing like a facial, paint your nails, put on some makeup. Because 9 times out of 10, you're not going nowhere. You got a newborn. You home. Two hours, three hours up, two hours, three hours sleep. Right. So it's like, just go do some small stuff. Put on some lip gloss. Listen to a book. Listen to some music. Clean up your house. You know, just do some womanly things for yourself. You don't care if you shave your legs. Whatever it is, just do it. You can either go, if you feel like you're overweight. Some people go through that. You and your baby get a stroller. Go for a walk. Get a fresh breath of air. Don't never sit behind closed walls. Right. Pondering on what should have, could have, would have, because at the end of the day, this baby is here and it's no longer about you. So you're going to have to get it together and take care of this child. And as that child grows, they see you everywhere, every part of you.
Right.
So you, it's either get it together when they're younger so you don't have to when they get older, or just grow with your kid.
That's right. You got to stand on that business. Love that. Love that. So last question. What advice would you give to an expectant mother?
Find a good support system, no matter who it is. If it's a friend, if it's a coworker, if it's your boyfriend, whoever, if you have that comfortability with that person, somebody that you could talk to about anything, keep them in your shoulder, because at the end of the day, they're going to be that person that comes over and holds the baby for you while you take a nap, can feed the baby for you, you know, just the little things. My niece just had a baby. Get him here. I'll hold him. Go do what you need to go do. Just make sure you have a very good support system when it comes down to it, and just learn your patterns. Most definitely learn your patterns. Teach your baby from night to day, night to night. Just teach them when the sun goes up, when the sun comes down.
Right.
Just gain patterns and just grow with your child, because the more you grow with them, the easier it becomes. The more you slack off and you don't really pay attention to your kid, you know, oh, he a baby, he just gonna sleep. That affects you when you get into those later stages.
Right.
Yeah, so just stay focused.
Well, sis, I love you. Thank you so much coming. You know, we've been talking about this for a minute. It's been a minute for us. And I personally, because I know you personally, it's just been a beautiful thing to watch you grow with the kids. I was in Cherry's life for the second birth. for Cadence. So this has just been a beautiful journey to watch you and just watch you grow as a woman and just handle your business. So thank you again.
Standing on it.
Thank you again. One more thing. Let the Coochie Gang know how we can find you, where you are on social media. How can we find you?
So right now I'm only on Facebook and Instagram. You can find me at Cherry Runnels on Facebook, and you can find me on Brown Goddess on Instagram.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Indeed. Okay. Well, we love you, girl. Thank you so much for coming tonight.
Look.